Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last, two false witnesses.
This man said, I will destroy the temple made with hands, and in 3 days I will raise it up again, made without hands.
Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God.
Jesus saith unto him, Thou hast said. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven.
He has spoken blasphemy.
What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. What think ye?
When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. And Jesus stood before the governor.
What accusations bring ye against this man?
If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee.
So take him and judge him according to your own law.
It is not lawful for us to put any man to death.
Jesus, art thou the King of the Jews? Thine own nation and chief priests have brought you before me. What hast thou done?
And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing.
Answerest thou nothing? Behold, the many things they witness against thee.
Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have the power to crucify thee? I have the power to release thee.
But Jesus yet answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled.
Ye have brought this man before me as one that perverteth the people. And I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in him, touching the things in which you accuse him of. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you before him, and lo, nothing worthy even of death was done unto him. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is
Let him be crucified!
Yes, crucify him!
Why? What evil hath he done? I found no condemnation of death in him. Therefore, I will release him after chastising him. Shall I crucify your king?
We have no king, but Caesar.
And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying,
I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it.
Amen. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they mocked him, and they took the robe off him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to be crucified. And they that passed reviled him, wagging their heads. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and the elders, said,
He saved others. Himself he cannot save.
If you're really the King of the Jews, why don't you come down off that cross, show us your power, and then we'll believe you.
Look at these people. A few days ago they were praising him. How could they turn on him? Stop! Please, leave him alone!
And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying,
Truly, this was the Son of God.
Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost.
The Emblem of Song.
Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came unto Pilate.
Sir, we remember that the deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure unto the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal his body away and say to the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first.
Ye have your watch. Go your way and make it as sure as you can.
So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. Then came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre.
Did you feel the earthquake this morning?
Yes. So many strange things have happened this week. Who shall roll away the door from the sepulchre?
Maybe the soldiers will help us.
Mary, look! The sepulchre! It's opened already! Hurry! Where is he? Where is Jesus?
Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, for he has risen.
Thank you. I'd like to ask you to take the Word of God this morning, and we will go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in just a moment, we'll begin in verse number 12, and we will read down to verse number 22. I want to thank the choir, the cantata, and those acting did a wonderful job. The purpose of all that was to show you what it was must have been like. May I tell you today that because of the resurrection, everything has changed. Do you understand that if Jesus Christ had not risen from the grave, we would have no need to come to church today? I might as well close the Bible and go home, because the Bible would not be the inerrant, infallible, inspired Word of God. Because Jesus himself said five times that he would rise from the grave. Everything rests on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Today, if you're a child of God and you know the Lord, then I want you to know something. Jesus rose from the grave. And today you can rejoice, because one day you will spend all of eternity with our resurrected Savior. But if you are here today and do not know Christ as your Savior, God has brought you here this morning. He wants you to know the truth that there was a Savior who died on the cross to pay for your sin debt, and Jesus Christ rose from the grave. There's lots of religions out there today, but not one can point to a resurrected Savior. Not one. Today we can rejoice as God's people as we think how the resurrection has changed everything. Now, has there been events in your life that has changed everything for you? I remember the day when I was 17 years of age, growing up in Knoxville, Tennessee, sitting in a church service on a Sunday morning when God dealt with me and the Lord spoke to my heart that I knew I was a sinner and I could not save myself. I remember that morning coming down the aisle and putting my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Nothing has been the same since that day. Everything changed. I remember the day that I got married. Everything has changed since that day. I remember the day that the doctor told my wife and I that we were going to have a little child. Our lives have been totally transformed since that day. All of us have events in lives to where we say nothing has been the same. In fact, throughout history, I want you to think of different people. Johannes Gutenberg was a man of God, a man who knew the Lord. And Johannes Gutenberg invented the printing press in 1440, finally making it possible to print the written word and to mass distribute it. In fact, he printed the first Bible and distributed God's word. You know something? Nothing has been the same since the printing press. We think about Thomas Edison, who invented the light bulb in 1879. Nothing has been the same since that day. Everything has changed. In the early 1900s, a man by the name of Henry Ford invented the first automobile and mass produced it. Nothing has been the same since the automobile. We think of Wilbur and Orville Wright. They designed and flew the first manned aircraft. Nothing has been the same when it comes to travel and being able to get to different places in a short amount of time. We think about Alexander Fleming, the man in 1928. He was the scientist who really didn't invent, he just discovered penicillin. It was the world's first antibiotic. You know something? Because of that, it has saved the lives of countless men and women, boys and girls throughout history. Nothing has been the same. Everything changed since that day. We think of Robert Oppenheimer, who is known as the father of the atomic bomb. And on July 16, 1945, he invented the atomic bomb. Can I tell you this? Nothing has been the same since that day. Folks, all throughout history, there are things in life that we can point to and we can say, you know what? My life totally totally transformed from that point on. Nothing has been the same. What if today you received news that you had cancer? Can I tell you something? Everything would change. What if today you received news that you only had a short amount of time to live? Everything would change for you. What if today we knew, and the Bible says we do not know, but what if we knew that Jesus was coming back at the end of this week? Everything would change in your life. Well, I want you to know something. The day of the resurrection, everything changed. You say, well, what do you mean, Pastor? Can I tell you this, that when the day that Jesus Christ died, the disciples, in fact, the Bible says all of them, forsook him and fled. Do you know that they were in hiding? They were scared. They were in fear. They were in despair because their hopes and their dreams had died. You know something? They were living in hopelessness on that day that Christ died. In fact, the Bible tells us in the book of John that the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. The disciples were terrified. Their lives had been destroyed. This man who was known as the Messiah, they had their hopes and dreams in him. And although he had told them that he would die and that he would rise from the grave, nothing like that had ever happened. They did not believe. They all doubted the words of Jesus. But I want you to know something. The day that those two women, they came and told the disciples that Jesus had risen from the grave, and once they saw Jesus with their own eyes, everything changed from that day forward. Folks, and I tell you something, the resurrection changes everything. In fact, when we come to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, we find the Apostle Paul giving us a portion of Scripture of what it would be like if Jesus had not risen from the grave. Let's read it together. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's begin at verse number 12. The Bible says, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?" 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 13. "But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain." The word vain means it's empty. There's no substance to it whatsoever. It is vain. Verse 15 says, "Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." You know, we think about those great men of history, of years gone by, of whether it been Thomas Edison or Johannes Gutenberg. Everything changed from their invention or from their discovery. But I want you to know something, that when Jesus Christ rose from the grave, it changed everything past, present, and the future. The resurrection changes everything. Now think just for a moment about these disciples. And think about the followers of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine what it was like on that day as Jesus hung on the cross and he opened not his mouth against his accusers? We know that there were sayings on the cross that Jesus said. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The Lord Jesus spoke on the cross, but he never spoke against his accusers. Oh, folks, I want you to know the disciples, as they beheld that day, Many of the disciples were a great way off watching all that transpired that day. No doubt they thought to themselves, the devil has won. Our Savior has been defeated. He said He had all power, and yet He has allowed men to crucify Him. They spat upon Him. They mocked Him. They ridiculed Him. But the very purpose of our Savior coming to this earth was to bleed and die on the cross for the sins of all mankind. But I want you to know something. If Jesus had just died and had just been buried in a borrowed tomb and had been still there today, we would be all men most miserable. Folks, listen, there would be no salvation. There would be no cleansing. There would be no forgiveness. There would be no mediator between us and God, the man, Christ Jesus. There would be no advocate on our behalf. Jesus would not be seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and me. Do you know that the resurrection changes everything? Number one, I want you to know something today, that the resurrection changes our despair. Now, what do you mean, Pastor, our despair? Well, I want you to think today. Think of the waves of despair that would come upon every one of us, knowing that our Savior died, but He did not rise from the grave. That's how the disciples felt. Would you take your Bibles and let's go to Mark chapter number 16. I want to show you a few accounts of what it was like after Jesus had died. And He was buried in that borrowed tomb. The disciples were in despair. There was a sense of hopelessness about them. And may I say to you that those that do not know Christ as their Savior, those that have never put their faith and trust in the resurrected Savior, they live in despair. There is a hopelessness about them. And maybe even this morning, you're a child of God and you know the Lord, and yet you are living in despair. Can I tell you something today? The resurrection has changed our despair. It's changed it. We come to Mark chapter 16. Let's begin in verse number 9, if you would please, because I want to show you this. Now, here are the disciples. Jesus has died. They've taken His body and they have put Him in a borrowed tomb. And there is Jesus. It's over, men. It's done. What we have believed in was false. We followed a man that was just a man. I mean, you think of their lives. Think of what they have been taught and what they have been living for. Now it is over. Look what the Bible says in Mark chapter 16. We begin in verse number 9. It says, "Now when Jesus was risen early, the first day of the week, He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom He had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with Him." Who is that? That's the disciples. "As they mourned and wept." Can you see a room of men who are mourning? They are weeping. Now this has been 3 days. They are weeping over the Savior whom they love. And the Bible says, look in verse 11. "And they, when they had heard that He was alive and had been seen of her," look at this, "believe not." Why didn't they believe, Pastor? Because they were living in despair. They were living in hopelessness. They were living in a sense that Jesus has died and it's over, it's done. There's nothing for us to live for anymore. They were in despair. But can I show you the end of the chapter and Mark chapter number 16? Look at the very end of the chapter in verse number 19. Now, I'm not going to read all of that, but Jesus did come and He appeared before the disciples. In fact, the Bible says that even when He showed up, some of them still did not believe. He even told Thomas, He says, "Thomas, reach hither thy hand and feel where the nails were within my hands, and reach hither and look at the scar upon my side." And Thomas said, "Lord, I believe." But I want you to notice what happens after these men see the resurrected Savior. They see Him with their own eyes. They talk to Him. The Bible says in verse 19, "So then after the Lord has spoken unto them, He was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Can I tell you what happened? The resurrection changed everything. No longer do I see men of despair. I see men with confidence in God, men with power, men that lives. Now they have purpose because Jesus rose from the grave. That means everything. Let's go, if you would please, to the book of Luke. Luke chapter number 24. Can I show you this other account? The Gospels are almost like a cube, and it shows us different sides of the same story. And look, Luke's account of the resurrection in Luke chapter 24. Let's begin in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulchre, bringing the spices that they had prepared and certain others with them." Luke 24, verse 2. "And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles." Now look at verse 11. "And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not." Why? They were living in despair. You know what? When the good news came to them, Jesus has risen from the grave, you know what they said? "Ladies, you're crazy. Ladies, I don't know what's wrong with you. I don't know what you ate last night, but something's wrong with you." It was idle tales to them. Yeah, go away. Go away. They were in despair. They were in hopelessness. But would you pick up and would you look in Luke chapter 24 and verse number 50. Now you know the Lord Jesus revealed himself to them. In fact, Christ revealed himself, the Bible says, to hundreds of individuals. People saw the Lord Jesus. They saw him with their own eyes. They heard them with their own ears. Everything changed because of the resurrection. And then look in Luke chapter 24 and verse number 50, and it says, "And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven." And verse 52, "And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God." Amen. You know what we find after the crucifixion? I find disciples that are living in despair. I find disciples that almost feel like God has abandoned them, that what Jesus spoke to them was not the truth. And now they're in despair. They do not believe the words of Mary. They do not believe what has been said. And yet when Jesus has truly risen from the grave, everything in their life changes. They come back into the city. The Bible says they were praising God. There was great joy. And they went out and preached the gospel. Why? Because the resurrection changes our despair. Today, child of God, can I tell you something? If you truly are a Christian this morning, the resurrection should change everything in your life this morning. And if you're here without Jesus Christ and you have no hope of eternal life, you have despair, I want you to know something. There is a Savior who loves you, who knows you by name, and the resurrection changes everything. Folks, can I tell you this? All of our hopes today rest upon the fact that he who was delivered to death for our offenses was raised again for our justification. If Jesus Christ was not raised from the dead, then get rid of the Bible, because it is not the inerrant, infallible, inspired Word of God. But because Jesus rose from the grave, then everything in this book is real and is true. And we can believe it. Folks, if Jesus Christ was not raised from the grave, we are men most miserable. But because He has risen from the grave, listen, we do not have to live in despair. You know something? Because He lives, we do not have to live with loneliness of heart. Folks, we have absolute assurance that Christ is alive and living within us, those of us who know the Lord as our Savior, just as He promised. He did not leave us alone. We are not orphans here on this earth. Since Jesus now lives inside believers through His Holy Spirit, we are never truly alone. Folks, today, if you're a child of God and you're living in the despair of loneliness, you need to remember the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He rose again for you. He rose again to live within you. He rose again that you would never be alone. Because Christ lives, we do not have to worry whether God will provide for us. You know something? No situation or need is too large for His almighty sovereign hands. Folks, if Jesus could rise from the grave, He can meet every need in your life. Maybe you're living in despair today, thinking that, well, God, meet my need. Listen, He rose from the grave. That should change everything about how you trust in an eternal, loving God. Because He lives, you and I can pray with confidence. You know what I believe? I believe those disciples in that upper room, those disciples that were in fear because now Jesus has been crucified. Maybe they fear for their own life. Maybe they think, well, if they crucify Jesus, they're going to crucify us. And now Christ is dead. It's over. It's done. But I want to tell you something. I don't think those men were doing much praying during those days. But when they saw the resurrected Savior and they saw Him ascend to sit at the right hand of His Father, making intercession for you and me, folks, because He lives, you and I can pray with confidence. You know something? When I pray, I can go to God. I can go to His very throne. You say, how can you do that, Pastor? Are you not a sinner? Yes, I'm a sinner. You say, Pastor, how can you do that? Are you not just a faulty human being? Yes, I am. But because Jesus Christ rose from the grave and I have placed my faith and my trust in Him, He goes on my behalf. I'm going to tell you what He does. He ever liveth to make intercession for you and me. Folks, we can pray with confidence today because of the resurrected Savior. Folks, because He lives, you and I can face death boldly and courageously and confidently. Why? Because if Jesus rose from the grave, then I want you to know something. He will be with us in our moment of death. Folks, the resurrection changes everything. It changes our despair. Number two, the resurrection changes our debt. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Let's go back, if you would please, to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. And I want to point out some things in our passage here this morning. And I want you to notice this argument that Paul has. And Paul is saying, listen, Christ rose from the grave. And if Jesus had not risen from the grave, this is what it would be like. Look back in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look in verse number 14. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. I want you to know something today. My faith is not in a church. It is not in baptism. My faith is not in my good works. My faith is in a resurrected Savior. Can I tell you something today? If Jesus did not rise from the grave, then my faith is vain. It's empty. There's no substance to it whatsoever. Can I tell you what that brings me to? Despair and hopelessness. But because Jesus rose from the grave, folks, there is hope. There is peace. There is joy because my Savior rose from the grave. Let's read on. Look what it says in verse number 17. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Folks, I want you to know something today, that all of us were born into this world a sinner. We thank God that just this week, God blessed Caleb and Victoria with another little baby, a little baby boy. It was funny, little Titus, the cousin, he was telling me all about it this morning. And he said, Clayton has a new baby brother. I said, great. And he said, he was just telling me all about it. He said, and his name is Moses, is what he said to me, all right? Well, his name's not Moses, all right? But if Titus wants to call him that, they're cousins, he can do that, all right? But you know something, that little baby, my wife and I will get to see it this week. And I'm sure it's as precious as can be. We've seen pictures of it. But can I tell you something? That baby, as precious and as wonderful and blessing as it is, that baby is born into this world a sinner separated from God. You say, Pastor, why? Because his parents were sinners. Well, what about them? Well, their parents were sinners. Folks, it goes all the way back. Do you understand that when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, everything changed? That changed everything. No longer could they have fellowship with God. Now they have sinned, and the sin has entered into the bloodstream of all of mankind. In fact, look back in 1 Corinthians 15. Look what it says in the end of verse 22, or the beginning of verse 22. It says, for as in Adam, all die. Can I tell you something? We are all in Adam. We are from Adam in the sense that we are sinners. Listen, nobody had to teach me how to sin. Nobody had to teach me how to do wrong. I had great parents that wanted to teach me the right thing. But it was nature to me. It was simple to me because I was born into this world a sinner, separated from God. And can I tell you something? I have a sin debt. A debt of sin that I owe. I cannot pay the debt of sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, it says, for the wages of sin is death. And that means that is eternal death in hell forever. Do you know that because all of us here this morning and everybody in this entire world are sinners, we have sinned against a holy God. And I'm going to tell you something, we can't stop sinning. Our sin piles up as debt that we owe to God. We have to pay for our sin debt. And if you want to pay for your sin debt on your own, the Bible says there's only one way. The wages of sin is death. You must spend eternity in a place called hell, a place of separation from God, a place of eternal darkness and eternal punishment. But I want you to know something today. Because Jesus Christ rose from the grave, it changes our debt to our sin. No longer, folks, no longer do I have to worry about my debt to sin to God. Listen, I can't pay it on my own. That day when I was 17, when I acknowledged to God that I was a sinner, that I could not pay for my sin debt. That day I asked Jesus to be my Savior. And can I tell you what God did on the cross for you and me? He took your sin debt. He took my sin debt. He took the sin debt of the world and He placed it upon Jesus. And the Bible says that He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. I want you to know Jesus paid our sin debt. But if Jesus had simply died and had been left in that borrowed tomb, we would be yet in our sins, as the Apostle Paul says. But when Christ rose from the grave, He conquered death, hell, and the grave. And can I tell you what the resurrection was? It was a symbol. It was a stamp that God was satisfied in the payment of sin and what Jesus did on the cross. Folks, because of the resurrection changes our debt of sin. Folks, if Christ did not come out of the grave, He cannot take men out of their sins. That means we have no justification. That means we have no forgiveness. But because Jesus came out of the grave, that proved that He was God's only Son. It proved that He was the only one that qualified to die for the sins of the whole world. Jesus Christ, walking out of that tomb, He proved once and for all that He was the Son of God, and the final penalty of sin was paid in full. That's why Jesus cried out on the cross, "It is finished." The payment of sin is taken care of. Do you know something? That is why Christians all over the world can sing today, "My faith hath found a resting place, not in device or creed. I trust the ever-living one whose wounds for me shall plead." I want you to know something today. Because Jesus rose from the grave, the resurrection changes my debt. You see, when Jesus rose from the grave, He proved that He was the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said that in John chapter 14, but He proved it when He rose from the grave. Folks, the resurrection changes our despair. It changes our debt to sin. But number three and lastly, the resurrection changes our death. Now go back in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you would please, and I want to show you this. You say, "Pastor, what do you mean by this, our death?" Well, it changes not only the symbol of our death and the effect or the consequences of our death, but it changes how we view death. Now look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's go back to verse number 18. The Bible says, well, let's start in verse 17. "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen in sleep in Christ are perished." You know what Paul was saying? If Jesus did not really rise from the grave, then everyone before us, our loved ones, our family members that put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, if Christ didn't rise from the grave, then we will never see them again. They're perished. It's hopeless. Despair. Forget it. It's over. The longer I live, the more I look forward to heaven. The longer I live, I have almost, in a sense, getting more friends on the side of heaven than on this side. I'm sure that there are lots of people here today that say, "I can't wait to see my father again in heaven. I can't wait to see my mother again in heaven. I can't wait to see my husband, my wife, my child. I can't wait to see my loved one." But I want you to know something. If Jesus didn't rise from the grave, then the Bible says, this says, "Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished." You won't see him again. But because Christ did rise from the grave, that changes our death. It changes. Folks, can I tell you this? Christ changed the very meaning of death when he rose. Because the Bible says that he took the sting out of death. Because death no longer is the end. Now it is just the beginning. Folks, we think of death and it's over. Yes, we know that the Bible says, "As it is appointed unto man once to die." But for the child of God, the believer in Jesus Christ, death is just the doorway into eternity. Death is just the doorway to spend eternity with our Savior, with the Lord Jesus Christ. The resurrection changes everything. It changes our death. Folks, Jesus is alive this morning, and He is the source of our eternal life. If He is our Savior, then the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:8, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Because of the resurrection, it changes our death. Folks, Christ has changed the very meaning of our death. Folks, because Jesus rose from the dead, we do not have to fear death. We put our faith in the risen Lord who said this, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Believest thou this? Folks, today when Jesus spoke those words, I want you to know something. Those words would mean nothing if Jesus Christ himself had not risen from the grave. He is the resurrection. He is the life. He changes everything about our death. Folks, the fact also that Jesus has risen from the grave changes everything about the way that we live. Do you understand that Jesus' resurrection proves that eternity is real, which leads us to change our perspective on living. Folks, if Jesus Christ had not risen from the grave, there is no heaven, there is no eternity, and we might as well just live and let live, because once we die, it is over. But because Jesus Christ rose from the grave, eternity is real. I want you to know something today, that every one of us are going to spend eternity somewhere. You say, well, Pastor, I'm a pretty bad person. I'm sure that I'm not going to be with the Lord Jesus. I want you to know something, that Jesus died for you and He rose again for you. You may say this morning, well, I'm a pretty good person and I've not done too many bad things. But I want you to know something today. The resurrection changed everything. The resurrection proved that Jesus is the only way to heaven. That there is no other way but through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we must put our faith in Him. We must call out to Jesus to save us from our sin, because we cannot save ourselves. But folks, Jesus' resurrection should change our perspective on living here on earth. It should help us to focus on things that have eternal value instead of things that do not. Let me give you an illustration. Years after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, those early Christians, and we're talking about after the resurrection, their lives were never the same. Now we understand that, but let me give you some specifics about it. Historians tell us that the early church, in the days of the early church, we're talking about after Pentecost, we're talking about the book of Acts, we're talking about now that Jesus has risen from the grave and the gospel has been preached everywhere. Those disciples went out. But you know that during the Roman Empire, the Christians during that day responded differently than the unbelievers. We say, well, I understand that, but what do you mean? Well, you see, during the days of the Roman Empire, there was lots of sicknesses, lots of disease. And because the Romans viewed eternity and death so differently than the Christians, it changed how the Christians handled the sick. For instance, the Romans would throw people out into the street at the first signs of any symptoms of disease because they knew they were contagious. And because they did not have the right view of eternity and death, they wanted nothing to do with death. But historians tell us that during that time, the Christians stayed and they nursed the sick. They took care of the sick, because you know what the child of God said? Well, the Lord is able to take care of me, and the resurrected Savior has all power and all authority that is given unto Him. But even if I die, I'm all of eternity with my resurrected Savior. You see, it changed everything about their perspective. It changed everything about their life. Folks, once death lost its power over their lives because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, life itself took on a new meaning for those early Christians. Folks, today, do we live in fear? Do we live in despair? Do we live in hopelessness? Do we fear death as children of God? Oh, folks, the resurrection changes everything about that. And today, because Jesus Christ has died and He was buried and He rose from the grave, today it changes our despair and gives us hope and a purpose for living in life. But it changes our debt to sin. Oh, listen, I've met people before and I've asked them, do you know if you died today, would you go to heaven? And you know what many of them said? Well, I'm working on it. I'm working on it. They're sincere. They're kind. I believe they're good people in that sense. But folks, the resurrection changed our sin debt. We cannot pay the debt of sin to only die and spend eternity in a place called hell. But folks, the resurrection changes our debt. Folks, not only does Jesus' resurrection help us to see the importance of living for things of eternal significance, and I want you to hear me out, it also provides the power for us to do so. Do you understand that because Jesus died and because He rose from the grave, now He indwells every believer in Jesus Christ? Can I tell you something? Christ in you this morning, if you're a believer, Christ in you gives you the power to live a victorious Christian life. Not a sinless life, but a victorious life. This morning, if you're living in the bondage of sin, you do not understand the resurrection. This morning, if you're a child of God and you're living in despair, you're living as if the resurrection never happened. Today, if you're living in the bondage to sin habits in your life and you're a child of God, do you believe the resurrection happened? Because folks, if we really believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because He rose from the grave, then Christ indwells us to give us power, to give us hope, to give us peace, to give us joy in life. The resurrection changes everything. You know something, today you could get some news that would change your life forever. But I pray that you have come into this building today and God has spoken to your heart. And today, from this day forward, your life will never be the same. Today, if you're here without Jesus Christ, God brought you here this morning on purpose. He wanted you to know that He loves you, that He gave His Son to die for you. No, you cannot get to heaven on your own. But if you're willing to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, He will save you and He will never leave you nor forsake you. This morning, oh listen, if you're without Jesus Christ, don't leave this building because you have no promise of tomorrow. You do have the promise that if you're willing to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, He said to him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. The Lord will save you today. But child of God, I believe there's many believers here today. But child of God, are you living in hopelessness? Oh, listen, because of the resurrection, that changes our despair. You have a Savior that wants to hear you. He wants to answer your prayer. He is ready to hear you. He will pay His promise. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He has promised to provide all your needs. You don't have to live in despair because the resurrection changes your despair. But today, what about your debt to sin? You know, I even find Christians that are trying to find approval to God. I think even after I came to know the Lord as my Savior, I struggled with that at a time in my life. I knew the Lord had died for me, but I thought I had to do something to make God like me. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. You are approved in Jesus Christ. Oh, listen, not because of us, but because of what Christ did. And He rose from the grave. Now we are made acceptable to God in His sight. Find your acceptance in Jesus Christ. Your debt of sin has been paid. But thirdly, how do you view death? Look, if you're living just for the here and now, you don't understand the resurrection. If you're just living for what you can get here and now, listen, Jesus died and He rose again to show us that He's conquered death, hell, and the grave. But folks, there is a life to live for all of eternity. Folks, I'm going to tell you this. Today, Jesus wants to change your life. You say, well, Pastor, I'm a Christian. He's changed my life. Wonderful. But He wants to change your life here and now. Because you know what? I know in my own life, I have prayed recently, oh, God, change me. Do you need the Lord to change you? He can. He can. Why? Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All power, He said, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Listen, there is nothing too hard for the Lord. He has His ear bent to you today. And He said, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Today, the resurrection changes everything. And today, God wants to change you. He wants to draw you close to His presence. And He wants to change your life. Listen, if you're lost without Jesus, let the Lord change you. If you're a child of God here today and you're living in despair, or you're trying to prove yourself before God, or you don't have the right view of eternity, let the Lord change you. He is a God who rose from the grave. It changed everything. And today He wants to change you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. This is the most important time of the service. And I beg of you to be very still and quiet in your seat. Today, if you are here and you do not know where you would go if you died this morning, maybe you just don't know. Maybe you don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell. Maybe today you think in your heart, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I want you to know that's why God brought you here, to change you, because He loves you so much. Folks, He knows every detail of your life, and yet He loves you. He's willing to forgive you of all your sin, no matter what sin it may be. And He has prepared a place for you in heaven. That's why He died. That's why He rose again. Maybe you're here today and the Lord has spoken to your heart, and you know God loves you, and you know that you're a sinner, and today you know that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Then the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Today, if you're willing to pray, to accept Jesus, to call unto Him, He's promised to save you. Maybe you're seated here this morning and God knows who you are, but you need to be saved. Would you be willing right now to pray to the Lord? I'm talking praying in your seat, silently, where no one else can hear you, but God can hear you. I'd like to help you pray, because the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Would you call on Him now? Let me help you pray. You can simply repeat this prayer to God. He will hear you and forgive you and give you a home in heaven. Can you pray this to the Lord? The prayer goes something like this. Can you pray this silently in your heart to the Lord? Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I trust Jesus as my only Savior. Help me live for You from this day forward. In Jesus' name, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I make you a promise that I will not embarrass you or come to you or call you out and no one is looking. But how many this morning would say, Pastor, I prayed that prayer with you for the very first time in my life, and I ask Jesus Christ to be my Savior this morning? No one's looking, but would you be honest before God? Pastor, pray for me because I prayed that prayer with you this morning. Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? Remember me in prayer, Pastor. I prayed that prayer with you today. Amen. Thank you. Now, child of God, can I ask you a question? How many would say, Pastor, the Lord has dealt with me, maybe about my hopelessness and despair, maybe about my trying to gain acceptance in the eyes of God, or maybe about my view of death? Would you pray for me today? Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? Pastor, pray for me. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to have an invitation time this morning, and we're going to sing together here. And I believe the Lord has spoken to our hearts. Hymn number 185, Jesus Paid It All. Would you take your hymnals and turn there? Today, if you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, would you leave your seat and come in just a moment and meet me here? Or today, if you need the Lord and you need to be saved, come, let us take the Bible and show you how to be saved. But child of God, has the Lord dealt with you? Let this be a day that changes everything in your life. Come and meet the Lord. Hymn number 185, as Brother Dan leads us, Jesus Paid It All.
Left a prayer.
Well, I want to thank you for being here today on this special Resurrection Sunday. What a great crowd and what a great group it is. If you're visiting with us today and maybe you still have that visitor card, maybe you weren't able to fill it out in time, please come by and give it to my wife and I. In fact, we like to ask all visitors and well as everybody else, if you can come and through the line, we'd love to greet you and thank you for being here today. And we do have service tonight at 6 o'clock. I pray that you can be right in your place and we're asking God to do a great work in our heart in a special way. Let's do this before we dismiss. Let's give a round of applause to the choir and the cantata and all the in the drama. Let's give them a round of applause. Yeah. And, you know, some of those actors, I mean, they played the part very well, you know. Brother Huxley, I mean, it was good. I was scared of him, you know. I mean, I'm telling you. And but they all did tremendous, and it was very moving, and it was very honoring to Christ. So I thank the Lord for that. Well, Brother Dan, would you close this in word of prayer? My wife and I would like to greet you on the way out today. Thank you for being here.
Let's pray together this morning. Dear Father, we thank you for the time we've had together on this Resurrection Sunday. Father, to think once again about the power and the hope that we have in Christ's resurrection from the dead. We thank you that he's not finished with his work, but he's still accomplishing his work through his people today. And we just trust now that we would go forward from here encouraged, Father, by what we've heard preached from the Word, but what we've heard in music and in the drama this morning, and desire to live a life that glorifies and honors you, helps to be zealous in our witness to others and bringing them the good news of the gospel. We thank you again for this day, and we just trust now that you would bless us, bring us back to our appointed time this evening, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be dismissed.